Let's discuss some ideas relating to the Seder, to the Haggadah. The first thing I want to discuss with you, I'm sure Rabbi Chol is very well aware of this idea of the Seder. Why is the Seder called the Seder? Now, it's very interesting. Who was the first one to invent this term, the Seder? It's relatively speaking, it's a modern, a more recent development that we define this meal, the night of Pesach, with the term Seder. Doesn't seem it's more than 1,000 years old, probably less. Since we have Rashi, I'm not sure Rashi anywhere calls this meal the Seder. Doesn't seem so. The Rambam, who lived a little bit after Rashi, not much after Rashi, he calls it the Seder. The Rashi doesn't call it the Seder. The words of the Rambam are Seder Asiyas Mitzvos Elu Belel Tesvav Kachu.
Did Rashi know about an order? Forget about the word Seder.
Well, there certainly is an order. That's in the Mishnayos. That goes back to the Mishnayos and this tradition. But I'm just referring to the term, the title. We take it for granted. Oh, we're having a Seder. Where are you going for the Seder? Going to your parents? To my parents? It's a term that we take for granted. But it's interesting that it's, relatively speaking, modern invention, modern convention that has been adopted by us. I don't know how many hundreds of years, but going back, maybe the Rambam doesn't say the words. He just says an expression, Seder Asiyas Mitzvos Elu. In the Haggadah we have Kol Mishloi Amar Shloi Shetvam Elu BaPesach Lo Yotzei Dechayvasa. So they won't say the word Seder. But where do we find it? Well, in the Haggadah itself, we find in the piyut of Chassal, Seder Pesach Kehilchasa. That's a piyut. When was that piyut written? Recently. I don't know how recently. It wasn't written yesterday. It wasn't written 100 years ago. But relatively speaking, it's not more than a few hundred years old, that piyut. Likewise, there's another piyut that we say Shabbos Haggadol. This Shabbos, if you say Yoitzreis, it's not so terrible to say Yoitzreis. It's very interesting. I had the good fortune this year for the first time to say Yoitzreis in a place where they say it seriously, very seriously. They say Yoitzreis in a very nice way, and it's an experience. It's not so hard. The words aren't all that complicated. They're very poetic, very beautiful. It's readable. It's easier than Kinos and Tisha B'Av. Definitely much easier. And in the piyut for Shabbos Haggadol there, it says the word, it actually says the word, and the piyut called Kel Elokei Haruchos, it says there, the term, I don't have it here in front of me, there's a charuz that says the word Seder Pesach. So we do have that from the piyutim. The paitonim have come to the rescue, and they have invented the term called Seder. The Balei Tosfos, also, the Tosfos in, let me find the Tosfos, I wrote it down somewhere, I have both this writing and the Sefer. One of the Balei Tosfos in Masechet Pesachim also refers to this meal with the expression, the Seder. Let me see if I could find it quickly, here it is. It's Tosfos in Pesachim Daf Kuf Yudalid, Perek Ari Pesachim. Hevi Lufanav Lufnei Mishomer Haggadah Ve'oiseh HaSeder. So Imamish says it explicitly in Tosfos. They bring the Ka'ara before the one that says the Haggadah and the one that does the Seder. It's not used in the same term as it's used by us, but it's pretty open. Ve'oiseh HaSeder. Yeah.
Ask the same question about the Siddur.
Who invented the Goin? That goes back further. There's the Siddur of Amram Goin. So the Siddur was first the of Amram, that was from the Goinim already.
The Siddur
Amram Goin? The Seder? I don't know the answer. It's a new title. It's a very interesting. Very good point. I don't know. But the Goinim is way. We do have Rav Amram Goin. He put together Tfilus. Did he call the Siddur? I don't know. It seems like he did. I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. You're right. It's an interesting idea. Did he call it?
Lo'odim
yisadr odam tefilos o'kodim she'yispal. So Chazal, you should arrange your prayer before you get up to actually say the words. And Rav Aaron going put all of the tefillos in a book, in a collection of. And is that, did he call it a siddur? I don't know. Very good point. But he did something that did in Echnami take place at the time of the Goyinim, which is way before the Rishonim, that's for sure. And before the Baalei Tosfos. Okay, but interesting idea. It's a very good point. Okay, now why is it called Seder? So I'm sure Rav Michal knows the famous Maral. It's probably the most popular interpretation of why we call it a Seder. Is because Yesh Seder L'Nisim. This was quoted all over the place. You heard this? Yesh Seder L'Nisim. Yesh, there is... The night of Pesach, there are miracles. Everything is all about miracles. When you think about miracles, yes, the average person, the miracle breaks the order. It breaks the rules. Seder is a term which refers to order, something which is predictable. Nature. Nature is the perfection of order. Everything in nature, more or less, science, is predictable. It's mesudar, it's ordered. Miracles, you break the rules. There's no such thing. There's no such order. Everything is Hashem does whatever He wants. There are no rules. The Maral comes along and says something that is extremely deep, profound, and books have been written to explain this concept. The reason why the meal that we enjoy, the night of Pesach, is called the Seder, is because even though almost every single part of our redemption is built upon miracles, don't just think these are haphazard miracles, events which Hashem does whatever He wants. Yesh Seder L'Nisim. There is an order. There is to miracles. Miracles don't just happen like that. There's a reason. It's predictable to a certain degree which miracle will happen, which will not happen. He's taking two extreme opposites. I don't think you can get greater extremes than these, and he's blending them together. This is real morale. This is his morale. It's more morale than the morale himself. Right?
But there's a system.
There's a system to miracles. This defines the whole essence of the Maral. There's a system to... There's a nature, there's an order to the supernatural. Okay, that's what we are. There's a little nice Jewish, I always like this Jewish, I think I told last year, is the word Seder has three letters, Samach Dal Resh. We know this thing called Pardes. Pardes represents Pshat, Remesh, Drush, and so. Torah is divided into four channels. From the Hoyot Sein Eden, Visham Yipored, V'Hoyol Le'Arba'or, Roshim, four different streams. Torah breaks the four different channels. Pshat, simple understanding, Drush, Sod, and Remes. Whatever those things mean. The word Seder has three of the four letters except for the Pei. Meaning, what we do at the night of this, at the night, this is a real Kabbalistic word, the night of the Tezvav, we have Remes, we have Drush, and we have Sod. But there's no Pshat. It's not a simple thing. The Seder, there's no simple understanding to what is taking place the night of Pesach. It's very deep, profound, beyond Pshat. It's Pardes without Pshat. Sod, Remesh, Drush. This is the Malchus, the essence of what is taking place not the Pesach. Okay, there's another quick idea why it's called Seder. I already forgot. Let me look at my notes. Another reason why it's called Seder. No, I don't know where it is. Okay, so we'll leave it with that. Let's go to another minhag. The next thing I want to discuss with you is... Oh no! Okay, here it is. I hear this. Kiloi b'chipazon yetzeyu. One of the essential themes of the night of Yitzias Mitzrayim was haste. Kigarshu miMitzrayim v'lo yochlu lehismame v'gam tzeidol lo yasul lohem. Everything happened in haste. They did not make provisions. Hashem said, leave immediately, you have to leave before your time. You really were supposed to be for 400 years, but you have no choice but to leave early. And therefore the matzah did not have a chance, the dough did not have a chance to rise or turn into matzah. And you have to have your stick and wearing your shoes. When you're wearing, you have a stick in your hand, you have your shoes. That means quick, gotta go, you're on the run. You have to eat the matzah when you're in the car. You gotta take your provisions when you're on the road. It was b'chipazon. Why was it b'chipazon? Because it was not the Geula Shlema. The Geula Shlema, the Pasuk tells us that when the Geula Shlema will come, kiloi b'chipazon yetzeyu. The Geula Shlema will come in a very slow process, and will be able to take it in and enjoy every single step of the redemption, because we will deserve, we will merit the reward of redemption. In Mitzrayim, we were not worthy. We were halalu avi avodah zarah, halalu avi avodah zarah. Therefore, we were not worthy, like we discussed yesterday. It was like Lot. Lot, Hashem said to Lot, don't look back. You're now allowed to look and witness the destruction of Sodom, because you also deserve to be destroyed. It's only because of Chesed Elyon I'm going to save you. Al tabet acharecha, don't look back, you're not deserving. To a certain degree, when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, we also were not deserving to witness their destruction. We were not deserving to be redeemed. It was only as chosavos. It was only because of promised Avraham Avinu. We're not deserving. Therefore, we lack the ability to enjoy what was really happening. It was in haste. But the Geula HaAsida is going to go slowly. It's going to come in Seder. The word Seder has the connotation of step by step, order, slowly. It has a connotation of kiloi b'chipazon yetzeyu. So on the night of Pesach, when we are reliving the experience of Yetzias Mitzrayim and using it as a springboard for the Geula HaAsida of the coming of Mashiach, we're decompressing. We're decompressing what was done in haste, using that as a blueprint for kiloi b'chipazon yetzeyu. Every single thing will happen step by step. We'll enjoy and take in every single little detail. So again, there's a whole new idea why it's called Seder. And the whole idea of Seder is it represents the absence of haste. And that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to bring, it's an avoda to bring the Geula Shlema, and part of the Geula Shlema is Kilei B'chipazon Yetzeyu, and that's what Seder connotes.
But that's not a reenactment.
It's both. It's a reenactment with, we're reenacting what happened. That's a given. Of course we're reenacting. But we're using it as a springboard. At the same time that we reenact what happened, we use it as a springboard to request, to be mevakesh from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that this shall serve as the blueprint to bring the ultimate geula. And that ultimate geula, let's go slow now. Let's take it step by step. Let's go in the Seder, in order of the events.
Maral would say that it happened quickly because Hashem is showing that He transcends time.
Okay, that's a different idea. Elu ve'elu. It's a different. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, so this is one idea. Seder, where does it review? Where does it come from? It's a term which was relatively recent. It's hard to find. The Paitonim, they really gave us the word. It's relatively recent. There's a beautiful Maral, Yesh Seder L'nisim, and this other idea, it represents the Geula HaAsida of kiloi b'chipazon yetzeyu, in contrast to the geula of Mitzrayim, which was done in haste. Okay, let's now go to another idea. Kelim chadashim, kelim noim. There's a minhag Yisrael that by the Seder you bring out the best. Open up your cabinets, you take out the most expensive kelim you're supposed to put on the table. Beautiful, beautiful kelim that you have, the best that you can possibly afford. Now, where does this come from? Why is this so? So there's a very interesting, you should go to the Seder knowing there's Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, Reb Chaim the Brisker Rashiva is a very interesting idea. It's a lomdish idea, a halachic idea, typical for Reb Chaim, that the Kalim Noim is the din in the Heseba. If you look at the Rambam says when you do Heseba, ask the Al Hamita the Al Hashulchan. When you recline, why do we recline? Derech Cheirus. How do you recline? So if you ask the average person, reclining, it's no big deal. You just go move to your left side. You sit in your chair, and you move to the left side, and you eat the matzah. That's not reclining. Reclining, not only does it require that you sit on a mita, and you move your bed, you move your back to the left, you also have to do it in front of a table. It's a tremendous chiddush of Rav Chaim. average person tells you Haseba has nothing to do with the chair, has nothing to do with the table, has nothing to do with the pillow. It has to do, you should be in a position, the guf, the gavra, should be in a position where he's to the left side. Oh, if you're on the left side, you recline, that's called Haseba. Rav Chaim, it's not Haseba. Haseba has, there are many things which have to come together, because the whole purpose of Haseba is Derech Harris. Derech Harris requires what? That's what the average person would say. Average person will say that chayrus is an attitude, you're relaxing, on your own, and halakhically you have to do certain things, which the attitude requires that you tilt your body to the left side. And that's it. That's where it starts and ends. That's how I understood it. I think that's how the average person understands the Seba. Rav Chaim Saladaychik, the Daik and the Rambam, Daik and all them in the Gemaras, when then the Seba, it's a din of Amita. You have to be sitting on a chair. If you're going to sit, if you have some type of a physical trainer, and you can bend your legs in a certain way, and you can and tilt yourself and eat the matzah, according to Rav Chaim, you're not yaitzah din Haseba. You must be sitting, you must rest your weight on a chair, a special type of reclining chair. And here's the ultimate chiddush, incredible chiddush halacha, you have to have a table. According to Rav Chaim, if you don't have a table, no table, I don't want a table. I use my hands, I have my lap. I don't need a table. I will take my matzah and I will recline on my recliner chair to the left side without a table. According to Rav Chaim, lo yotza Haseba. Because Haseba, the Gemara and the Rambam, is al hamita ze al hashulchan. Is upon a mita, a couch, in front of a table. The derech cheiros, the attitude of cheiros to fulfill the reclining requires that you recline on a couch in front of a table which holds all of the items that you need to partake from at this elaborate meal. Incredible chiddush. Therefore, Chaim goes further that part, once you need a table, you don't have that's not just an ordinary table. Where you're gonna go? You're gonna go to a Office Depot and buy a table, and you're gonna recline in front of the table. That's called a seba. The table has to be beautified with kalin noin, that it should be an enhancement to the din haseba. It's an incredible chidusha. This is not a typical Rav Chaim. He's saying a din, and he's adding chasidusha verlach to his own din. But that's what he says. The kelim chadashim. I'll read you what it says here. It's in the stencils. People don't even know what stencils are today. Ein perusha. I'll read you what it says. Ein perusha shal derech cheirush shu din hoiros cheirush. It's not attitude. See, it actually says your word. Hoy roas hacheirus, to show that you're a free man. Sheyesh besidur hashulchan kishlatzma. Raku nichlal begeder hacheirus shnemra b'mitzvah seba ki Rashi v'harashpam. Okay, this is not the Rambam. Rashi v'harashpam koslu al hodetnan lo yochlat sheyosef. All it says in the Gemara in the Mishnah is you shall not eat until you recline. So what does Rashi say? At she Yosef b'derech b'nei choyrin b'mita ve'al hashulchan. Rashi and Rashbam add that part of a seba requires you have in front of you a table. Ulchora my inyan shulchan etzel haseba el al karchach b'zehu lamdesia chelik b'haseba derech erus sheyi yedavka al hashulchan. Avlam Yosef alamita beloy shulchan. Rav Chaim says an awesome chiddush. Loy have haseba. Unbelievable, yeah. Ulefizeh. Look what he says now. Kevan debinan she Yosef ala shulchan mishamisa seba im kain shayich gam kain she yihye shulchanoy misudur bekelim noim. Mishum mitzvahs haseba derecheus. The kelim noam enhance the beauty of the table, which serves your fulfillment of haseba. Unbelievable. No, yeah, that's what we're saying. Now you got to take out the best stuff to beautify the table, so the table can allow you to be mekayim this absolute requirement of haseba. According to many places, you don't do haseba lo yatsa. Now you have not filled. You have to eat the matzah again. You got to eat the matzah again, unless you buy your rebbe. The only time you pot it, buy your rebbe. And the rebbe doesn't give you permission. That's an exception to the rule. Nashim, it's a shmachlekes. The nashim do a seba. The Rambam says, don't start up with the women. Nashim, ba'adidon, our women are chashuvim. They're very chashuv, so therefore they all do a seba. But it's a din in the haseba. Awesome chiddush. The male of the kelim, noim, enhance the shulchan. That's why you have. Yes, the average person. Why do you have nice kelim on the table? No one's going to tell you a seba. What? It's a minhag. Yeah, it's a nice. It's a happy night. It's cheresi. You put a nice sari. You put a no. You know you have to get because you need. You have to enhance the shulchan. So who needs the shulchan? No, you need the shulchan to mekayim the din haseba. And if you don't need the mats, there haseba lo yatsa. So you need a recline. Alash mitul yalash shulchan, and the shulchan has to be a cheresik a shulchan, and it requires kelim norm. Awesome chiddush to link together the word kelim noim with the word haseba. Ask the average person by your seder why the kelim noim. No one's going to tell you because of haseba. But that's what Chaim says. These two, it's all linked together to the din of haseba. Okay, I thought that was very interesting. I wanted to share that with you. Another inyana. There is such a minhag. We don't do that. I haven't heard of people doing this today. But it seems like it was a big inyan. People, we live a different lifestyle today. That you're supposed to go to your goyish neighbor. You have to go to the non-Jewish neighbor and borrow his best stuff for your seder. You ever hear this before? Never heard this before. But it's brought down all over. There's a minhag. You go to the non-Jewish neighbor. I say, I know you have a very nice chandelier or some decoration, that bronze vase. Maybe we can borrow it for our Passover meal. You're supposed to do this. You're supposed to have on your table beautiful kelim that belong to non-Jews on your table. Why in the world would you want to do this?
Because
go back to Mitzrayim. What? Right. So the parasha is because Mitzrayim, they bar for you. You want to reenact. It's a reenact.
They expect to pay it back.
Exactly. It's a reenact. Now today it's not going to go off well. We have enough problems.
Yishalu is alone.
We have enough problems with blood libels, and so we're not going to borrow kelim from the goyim, obviously. But there is such a thing. Oh, now I saw another idea, which really got me curious. It was what happened the night of the seder. A lot of this is read into the Haggadah. Is the Birchas Yitzchak, the greatest brachas that happened, that Klal Yisrael received, are the Birchas Yitzchak Avinu gave Yaakov Avinu the brachas that really meant for Esav. When did this happen? This happened the night of the seder. When Yitzchak came to, when Yaakov came to Esav, how was he dressed? He was dressed in disguise. He was dressed like Esav. Clothing are called kelim. Clothing are the ultimate kelim. He basically borrowed Rivka against the will of Esav. Yaakov borrowed the kelim of Esav when he went in disguise to receive the brachos from Yitzchak Avinu. Now this is a heavy, heavy duty drush, but there's a lot of depth in this. The night of the Seder, every single year, to some degree, is a reenactment of the Birchas Yitzchak. There is a shafa, there is a blessing, that is coming down to this world by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the world. And who is competing for this blessing? This spiritual blessing of Gashmias and Ruchnias, Hashem is sending down to this world renewal of blessing. Tal, right? We have Tal, a bracha. Who is, so there is the Goyim, Edom, the Sar Shalais, this is Rebbeinu Shel Olam, I'm the Bukhar. We're the Bukhar. We came out of Rivka first. We're the Bukhar. We get it. Yaakov Avinu says, not so fast here. We're making the Seder here. You're watching football. It's already, football season is over. Baseball, spring training. You're watching. You're busy with Narishkeit. We're making the Seder. The Sar Shalaisav, you have no right. Maybe the Sar Shalaisav is busy trying to get the brachas, but Klal Yisrael says to the Baruch Shalom, now the Seder, no. Don't give them the brachas. But the Sar Shalaisav, you know, they really are, again, this is a real heavy duty drush, but it's very deep. The Sarsha says, with the Bukhar, that's the way it goes. That's the Mitzias. You have no right to take it away. And look, Yitzchak was masking. Yitzchak told Rivka, no way, we're giving the brachas to your Esav. Knew he's trouble, he's at risk. But don't worry, he'll strain out. He will strain. I have faith in the chinuch of the yeshiva, they'll strain him out. Klal Yisrael has to go to extreme measures. We enact this. It's very delicate. We're reenacting. Don't give the brachos to Esav. Give it to us. And to make it easier, we're also Esav. We'll disguise ourselves as Esav. Look at the furniture. Whose furniture? It's Frank's furniture from across the street. Look at the chandelier. We had an electrician come and put it up the day before the Seder. We took his table. So we're in disguise. We're really Esav. So there is a hakpada. Disguise yourself as Esav to make it easier for us to channel the brachos that is coming down to this world from Yaakov, to this world, the Birchas Yitzchak shall come to Klal Yisrael. Fascinating idea. It's a fascinating idea of why they're negative. I told, don't try this at home. Obviously, this generation, it's not something which any of the rabbanim are telling you to do, to go to your non-Jewish neighbor and ask the bar as Kalim, but there is such an appreciation of such an idea.
There's an implication of this in the Haggadah, because there's a you go through the choice points where, you know, Shmuel is eliminated, where Esav is eliminated, the Yaakov, and
Yaakov, brother of Yodim Mitzrayim. Yeah.
So the idea of asserting our birthright is what you're saying.
Yes. This is a very interesting idea. Such a minog. Do you want to bring out some minhagim that we don't always aware of, but it's definitely something which is brought down. Now, just one other idea that some of the Gedolei Yisrael had. This is a very beautiful idea. It says in Shulchan Aruch, you're supposed to put on the table kelim noyim. The most beautiful kelim. A lot of it's a Hasidusha, it's recorded in different Hasidusha sources that the Gedolei Yisrael, what do they put on their table? What were the kelim chadashim? Or maybe whatever they can find in their cabinet, they put on the table their chidushei Torah. If they publish svarim, that's what they really viewed as their accomplishment in life. Those are the real Kelim Chadashim. The Sfarim, their Chidushi Torah, they put on the table. They decorated the table. You have a Talmud Chacham, he wrote a Sefer, Rebbe Chol, you're putting on your table your books, the Dal Malchios. That's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to put the Kelim, one of the most beautiful Kelim you have, your Chidushi Torah. Your publications.
Maybe yours, but...
Chidushei Torah. So you put on the table not just the gold and the silver and the goblets. The real kelim noyim. The real beautiful kelim are your svarim. So on your table, you decorate. That's what you do. You're decorating the table. You decorate the table with your sefer.
Yeah, maybe a little too guy, but...
Okay, so this is another little cute chassid. Okay, now let's go to another idea. This idea is very chaviv to me. I found this very, very fascinating. Things I never heard of. The Ka'ora. What in the world is this all about? The Ka'ora. Isn't it a funny thing? Put on the table, you have a plate, you have three matzahs, Kohen Levi Yisrael. On top, you have six different items. If I remember, the Beitza, Kamech Hagiga, the Zeroya, the Moror, the Charoises, the Chazeres, another type of Moror, and Karpas. And that's it. Those are the six. What? What's this all about? And you have to have a very nice ka'ara, not just stama ka'ara. You got to have an expensive silver ka'ara. Ka'ara means a plate. What is this all about? What?
Looking up where I saw
the previous idea. Yaakov Avonov Yardu Mitzrayim. Yeah.
That actually talks about
Terach.
Right. All of
then we knock off the Yaakov. Right. Very good. So we have over here the car. What in the world is this car all about? So there's a very simple explanation why we have a car. It's cited by the Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham, I think he really cites it to reject it. But the simplest reason why we have it, I think, comes from the Maril, is because in the Gemara it says Magbin, you pick up the table. In ancient times, you sat by a little. Everyone sat like a little table, right? Little tables. Family comes together. There's a Rosh Habayis with the wife, the children. They're all sitting together. Everyone has their little stool, about to eat their meal, and then it says Magbin es haShulchan. You're about to eat, and the waiter comes and takes away the table. He lifts up the table, mamish, from everyone. So
like a tray table,
exactly. So the tray table is removed. Like on the plane, close your tray. It's removed. So the child says, what in the world is going on? We're just about ready to eat. You're taking away the tray. Oh, excellent. You ask the question. You go, Makayim. The child is curious. Fascinating. Fantastic. That's what we're supposed to do. We give him manishtan and so on and so forth. Bizman hazeh. Did you ever come to someone's seder and watch the waiter? Watch the kitchen crew. Okay, Abayisai, before we continue the seder, can you just please move your chair back a little bit? And they pick up the table, and they take the table out of the room. Nice, heavy dining room table weighs 50 pounds, all decorated. They take away the table. Ridiculous, right? It's not going to happen. They're not going to take away the table. Why not? Because we don't have tray tables. It's not our style. It hasn't been our style to have tray tables for hundreds of years. Even the time of the Arizal and the time of going back of the Mekubal, they also didn't have tray tables. They had dining room tables like we have today. But it says in the Gemara, Magbin es haShulchan. You got to pick up the table. In order, you have to follow the halacha. You can't compromise on halacha, especially not the night of the Seder. You got to pick up the table. So it was invented, this custom, going back hundreds of years, a ka'ara. The ka'ara is a microscopic table. It has everything you need for the seder. It is like a dollhouse. See how these miniature little things? So it's a plate, and it has the matzahs, and it has everything you need for the seder, the matzah, the marah, the beitzah, the zraya. Nenela, now, when the seder begins, that's why the Magen Avraham is going to be very upset, because we don't do this either. What you're really supposed to do is, as you begin the seder, take the ka'ara, pick it up, and take it out. And when you pick up the ka'ara, and you remove the ka'ara from from your dining room table, that is the equivalent of fulfilling the requirement of Magbin es haShulchan. So, being that this man is that we no longer take away the table because we have dining because we don't have any new tray tables, so therefore we invented this thing called the ka'ara, which serves as a make-believe table. And on that little table we have everything we need for the seder, so that's how we makam the halacha of Magbin es haShulchan by being Magbia the ka'ara. The Magen Avraham says here that we will find well if that was the Minhag Olam. But the Minhag Olam is we don't even do that! The miracle item is we don't even take away the car. Did you take away your car? You'll say there? No one takes away the car.
Cover it up.
You cover the matzah, you uncover the matzah, you pick up this, you pick the moro, you pick up this. But do you pick up the car and take it out into the kitchen?
Something like that.
You do it? Okay, maybe some do it, but the Magen Avraham says if this really is the time, okay, could be. So could you push it away? So maybe you're talking mekayim and stuff. But the Magen Avraham says, as far as I see, people don't do this either. So the whole time of the car is already is bottled. The only reason why the car was invented, according to the Pashtonim, those who are very, you know, they stay away from Kabbalah. You look at most agadas, they'll tell you, Arizal, the Gra, how do you arrange it like a segol? They're going to start talking before you get into the Haggadah, right away, you're blown away. This Seder is for the Mekubalim. It's not for the faint of heart, because paradise without the pay, the Chor is Kabbalistic. It's Chochma, Bina, and Das, and Malchus, all these funny things. No. Forget it. Let's not get into that. Let's do the pashtun. It's pshat. Pshat is magbines hashulchan. No one is taking away the table. The table is drilled into the ground. We need to reenact removing the table. So we're going to make a kara and we're going to take away the kara. Morgan Avram says, really? So how come no one takes away the kara anymore? Something went wrong. So this can't be the only reason why we have a kara. It's a very good pshat. It's a table. It's a make-believe table, which fulfills the Gemara, but we don't. So why then, Taka, do we have the Kara? So let me give you some Kabbalistic reason. First of all, now, this I'll give you a Kabbal, because I want to tie this into a Gemara in Masechta Megillah, which is a half-baked Vart, which from a Chol will be mashed by the Seder, you'll understand the deeper significance. But the basic reason given by the Mekubalim is there are 10 spheres. I don't even know what they are. I don't know anything about this. There are 10 spheres. There's something called Chochma Bina Das, and there's something called Netzach. You know this. You're a morale person. You know this.
No, we don't.
This Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hoyd, and Yesod. I don't know what these things are.
Yeah,
squeak to me.
You're the one who talks about the Sphere of Omer and then all this other.
I never said what these things are. I just said there's these seven things. Right. But those are seven. Plus, it's Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hoyd, Yesod, and Malchus. Right? Malchus. Don't forget about Malchus. That's eight. That's seven. Chesed, Gevura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hoyd, Yesod, and Malchus. That's seven. Then it's Chochma, Bina, and Das. Mashlim, total of 10. What do you get 10? We have 10 items on the Kara. 3 matzahs. The 3 matzahs are Chochma, Bina, and Das. And then we have 6 more items. The 6 more items of the Zeroya, the Beitza, the Charetzas, the Moror, the Chazeres. Did I miss anything? The Moror are Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Choyd, Yesoid. But we're missing one.
Say that again.
There are 6 items on the Kara.
Oh.
The 6 items on the Kara correspond to Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Choyd, and Yesoid. I have no idea what these words mean. I really don't. And I have no idea why the 6 things on the Seder correspond, but this is what it says. And then the 3 matzahs correspond to Chochma, Bina, and Das. Chabad.
Yeah,
Chabad. Lubavitch. We're all Lubavitch. Not at the Seder. We're all Chabad. Don't tell anyone. Chochma, Bina, Das. Chabad. Plus, but there's one missing. Oh, what's missing?
Malchus.
What's Malchus? Ah, it's beautiful. The Ka'ora is the Malchus. The Ka'ora is the unifier. We don't have to know it.
You mean the Ka'ora itself, not the items on
it? No, the Ka'ora itself. Here, this is very deep. Now, again, I don't know. All we have to know is, what is the tachlis of a melech? I don't know. The tachlis of a melech is, everything should be in their right place. There's a very complicated world out there. A government authority has many different departments. There are many cabinet, Secretary of Defense, Secretary of Treasury, and then there's I don't know, you go through the whole cabinet, all the different parts of a government. And what is the melech? The melech is the person that makes sure everyone is doing their job, everything comes together properly. There are the world, Basara Mamoros Nivra Ho'ila. There are Saras Hadibra, Sara Mamoros, there are 10 spheros. One of them is Malchus. Malchus is the big unifier of the other 9. On the Ka'ora, there are 9 items. 3 matzos, which corresponds to Chochmin Vidas, 6 items, and the plate itself, which unifies everything together. That's Malchus. That's the tafkid of a melech, to bring everything together. Okay, now, why am I so excited about this? I don't know the Gemara. We don't have time with the Gemara, but you have to find the one. Go look at the comments of the Gemara to get the deeper meaning. So that's why only half baked. The Gemara talks about Haman. Haman wanted lahapoch es hakora al piv. Haman wanted to take the ka'ora. It's the words of Chazal.
Yes.
It's an expression. He wanted to create a
turn.
Oh, overturn the power. Now, what does that mean exactly? There are many interpretations. Does it mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Does it mean Achashverosh? Does it mean Mordechai? But the way the Gemara defines Haman's rebellion, Haman's rishis, the essence of Amalek is Lahapoich HaKeora Alpif. What is the Keora? The Keora is Malchus. What is the Megillah all about from the very beginning to the very end?
Malchus.
Hamelech Megillah. Every column begins with the word Hamelech. Haman wanted to destroy the world. He wanted to rebel against the Melech, Malchei Hamlochim. He wanted to rebel against Achashverosh, the Melech. Now we have a much greater appreciation of what Chazal mean, Lahapoi HaKeora Alpif. Now that we understand that the Keora has within it is the Malchus, which unifies everything together, and we know that the Melech is the Melech, Malchei Hamlochim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have an appreciation of Haman. And when did Haman was he killed? He was killed on Pesach.
Yeah.
Haman was, yeah.
The idea of Amalek Asher Karcha Badera, the idea of randomness in the universe.
It's not Masuda.
Yeah, rebellion against the order imposed by Hashem on the universe.
And the Korah puts everything in Seder, in proper order. Okay, this is one idea. Now, I'm going to finish up very quickly. Two more ideas of what is the Korah. The essence of the Seder is order. Right? That's what Seder. What is Seder? Linear. You only can do one thing at a time. There's more. When I'm only sticking morar, there's no matzah. When I'm doing matzah, there's no morar. When I drink the kois of yayin, there's yayin. When I focus on the carbon pesach, there's pesach. When we dip the morar in the charoises, charoises. That is the essence of Seder. The problem is, in life, it's a very big Musa Haskell, you can't lose the big picture. Don't get lost in the big picture. When you go through life, there are tkufas of morar, there are tkufas of matzah, there are tkufas of koishal yayin, there are different tkufas. It's very easy in Golos, in this Seder, when we reenact Jewish history, to lose the big picture. The goal of the Keora is, at every moment in time when you're focusing on something, see in front of you the big picture. That's what's so critical about the Keora by the Seder. If you would not have a Keora by the Seder, oh, now we're going to drink the Yayin. Wow. But you have to understand the Yayin only came through the bitterness. When you eat the matzah, don't forget there was more of this. When you have the more, don't just focus on the bitterness. You always have to see the big picture. Therefore, when you go through the Seder, it's linear. But it's in front of you at all times on the table, where everything that you're doing, how it fits into the big picture. That is something which is so critical, not just for the Seder, but for life, and for the blueprint of what Golos and Geula, of what Jewish history and what the Yetzias Mitzrayim is all about. That's another idea of why we have a Keora. Now, one more idea, Akar. This also made a very powerful impression on me. This idea, this is not my idea, I'm telling you, I saw this somewhere, in the Sefer Paradis Eliezer, I'm not even sure who he said it from. But he says that this is a very profound idea. You go to the Seder, do you have an experience? No, I eat the morar. So you kvetch, you shakel, oh, morar. Golos is bitter. No? Okay. Matzah. It's an experience. It's a religious experience. Dalet koisais, the Haggadah. If it's just an experience, and when the night is over, it's over, what do you got from this? What's the purpose of all this? Tomorrow, it's business as usual. What the Keora really is, it's a utensil. It's not just a utensil. People spend a lot of money. It's a very nice gift item. It's an object where you're trying to take the experience, trying to impress upon us, take the experience and fashion that experience into a tool which you can use throughout life. The Keora is a kli, is an object, it's a tool. It's an object which has taken the experience of Maror, the perishables, the Maror, the Matzah, the Charoises, the Chazeres, the Karpas, and it's been put into a utensil where it's basically trying to take the experience, solidify it, materialize it, put it into an object, and have a tool which you can use in life to deal with situations that you will encounter throughout the year. It's trying to impress upon us, don't let the Maror just be an experience. Don't let the Matzah. Take the Maror and put it into an object. What do we mean? A kli? Kli doesn't mean, it means, in this context, it means a physical object, but it means into something which you can use as a tool to guide you and to help you live and deal with situations as they arise throughout the coming year. That's what we're trying to do with the Kara. Take these objects, put them into something, into a tool which we can hold on to, we can take, we can use, and we can live with throughout the coming year. Okay, we'll stop here. Have a wonderful day. Tomorrow, Mitzvah 9:30.